49ers fan cast, lucky number 77 for March 18th, 2012.
Montana rolling out the right, looking toward the end zone, throwing under pressure, throws his pass,
caught by Clark. Clark got a touchdown. Clark has it. It's a touchdown for the 49ers.
Montana at quarterback in motion, comes right. Back to throw, Montana. Steps up, throws.
Welcome back to the 49ers Fancast, and holy crap, do we have some stuff going on. 34 minutes of quality podcast action I recorded, and I had to start over because I went upstairs to get a cable to plug my iPhone in to get the voicemails into the podcast that I was going to play the two voicemails that I've got today. When I turn on, I don't know why I didn't look at my phone. I mean, I have my phone with me the whole time. I was using it to read the comments and things on the blog page. And come to find out, Alex Smith went and visited the Dolphins yesterday. When did this happen? I mean, yeah, there was some Irish pub action for me yesterday and some college basketball action yesterday, but I wasn't out very long, and the wife was with me, and I forgot my ID, so I didn't get to drink anyway. It wasn't like I was drunk, you know? I was reading stuff last night. I thought I was on it. I thought I was all over it. And today, things have happened. If you want to get in touch with the show, call the voicemail line, 3477-GO-NINERS. That's 3477-GO. The number 9ERS. Email 49ersfancast@gmail.com. Tweet me at 49ersfancast. And leave a comment on the blog at 49ersfancast.com. Now, last time I had said that I thought Ahmad Brooks was overpaid. I don't think so anymore after I saw that deal that Mario Williams just got. I shudder to think what kind of money Patrick Willis is going to command when he comes around to needing to sign a new deal. Holy cow. Not so upset with Ahmad Brooks's money. Jeez. I think he's a solid starter, and I'm not too much on the bandwagon of overpayment there. Let's talk about the elephant in the room now. We took care of business from last week, or last episode, whenever that was. Wow. I mean, things have really gotten interesting, haven't they? Started last week, last weekend, still the weekend, but started when we found out that Harbaugh and Greg Roman had gone to Durham to work out Peyton Manning and give him a physical. We now understand that the 49ers are in the running for the Peyton Manning sweepstakes. Now, let me get this off my chest first. My gut feeling is that Peyton Manning is going to choose the Tennessee Titans. Early on, I had wondered if Harbaugh and Balke were blowing some smoke with the Peyton Manning thing. I thought it was possible, but unlikely. It sounded like real interest. Interesting, very interesting, but it sounded genuine. As far as Alex Smith was concerned, he had said that there wasn't a problem with the deal, that things were just working themselves out. And come to find out today that he apparently is not really happy with the deal. And so Peyton Manning, possibly. My gut feeling, again, Tennessee location. His wife is from there. He went to school in Tennessee. It's in the same division as the Colts, who he gets to play twice a year. Guys like to go to teams who are playing their old teams. That's the way it works. He still gets to play Tom Brady. He gets 8 games a year in Nashville, Tennessee. He gets a game in Indy, which is a dome. He gets a game in Jacksonville, which is Florida. And he gets a game in Houston, which is also warm, but also a dome. So he's guaranteed 11 decent weather, possible, dome games. Only 5 games kind of in question there. So I think, for my money, the more likely scenario is that Peyton Manning goes to Tennessee. Now, a lot of 49ers fans look at this and go, well, if he wants to win immediately, obviously it's us, right? We went to the NFC Championship game with Alex Smith, played decent Peyton Manning. We know, obviously, for anybody who's listening, obviously Peyton Manning is an instant upgrade at the quarterback position. We'll touch on the injury thing in a minute. But hey, you know, Peyton Manning probably looks at Tennessee and says, I can win games there as well. We might not. We kind of overvalue our own team. Now, we got Crabtree, we got Moss, and all of a sudden, I found this out, too. They signed Mario Manningham. When did that happen? When did that happen? Well, we'll get to him later. Let's finish Peyton Manning. So my gut feeling is that he wants to go to Tennessee. For all those reasons I just described, it's less of a factor for him not wanting to be in the same conference with Eli, I think, at this point. My follower, JamieMiller74 on Twitter, basically kind of told me he doesn't really think that's as much in his mind. And I think he's probably right, because Eli's already got two, Peyton Manning's got one. So, you know, probably that whole I don't want to, you know, face Eli too soon kind of thing might be out the window. But, you know, our receivers, again, we got Crabtree, now we got Manningham, but, you know, the Titans do have Kenny Britt, who should be healthy. And here's another thing. When you look at the running games, which running game is more consistent? Now, you can go back to last year and say, well, Chris Johnson was hurt, and he wasn't very good when he came back, or whatever happened. Maybe held out, lockout, whatever it was. Did he hold out, maybe? I don't remember. Anyway, last year he wasn't very good, and Kenny Britt went out for the year. I remember. He was on my fantasy team. So trust me, I remember. Peyton Manning probably looks at that situation and says, you know what, this is a better running game. I don't have to do everything myself. It takes the pressure off me. Now, does he make the 49ers better? Maybe. Probably. More people would say most definitely. He probably looks at Tennessee and says, I can make them better too. So from his perspective, he probably has equal value on whether I can go win games. Now, one of the draws could be Harbaugh. I don't know how much money he's going to get paid. You know, I don't know if the Niners want to put as much money into Peyton Manning as a lot of other teams want to. The Titans, Bud Adams, is offering him a contract for life. Denver is offering him 5 years, $90 million. I don't see the 49ers making that kind of commitment, really. And at this point now, it looks like they may have to up their deal to Alex Smith if they want to get him to come. If Peyton Manning doesn't decide to sign with the Niners and Alex Smith is out visiting other teams, are they going to up their deal to bring him back? Because it looks like he's starting to apply some leverage to the situation. The other thing would be the injury or the nerve damage. You know, his nerve damage, Peyton Manning's nerve damage, wasn't the cause of an injury. It wasn't the cause of a hit. It wasn't on the field. It was just simple nerve issues. This is his fourth neck surgery. That nerve supposedly is fully regenerated. That's fine. But here's the problem. If you put him on the field, there's no guarantee that he's going to be healthy that whole time. This could be one of the biggest free agency busts in history. You could have somebody twisting in the wind if Peyton Manning, if his nerve goes bad again and he can't play anymore. And then you're on the hook for millions. That's a calculated risk. And I'm not sure that it's one the Niners, with their typical pragmatic attitude, are going to want to really take on. And maybe they're happy with it, because, I don't know, Mark Schlereth, he's one of the guys, he said he's seen guys that are linebackers that have had multiple versions of this surgery done and keep playing for 3 or 4 years. So these are guys going out to hit people. And it's not like Peyton Manning takes unnecessary risks with the football or with his body. You know, he likes to fall down rather than get hit. And he's just taking care of himself. But again, it wasn't because of a hit. Any time the nerve could degenerate again. And a lot of people said, well, you know, Harbaugh says all these things about Alex, and Alex caddied for him at the golf tournament and all this stuff. And I'll be, well, you know, Harbaugh, I guess, was blowing smoke, and Harbaugh doesn't, you know, maybe Alex can't trust Harbaugh, but I don't think Harbaugh is the guy that makes the offers. I don't think Harbaugh's the guy that says 3 years, $24 million. Now, maybe they don't value Alex as a full-time future starter, and maybe Alex values himself that way. And he has every right to. He's a football player. football players, they value themselves very highly. They think, you know what? I deserve to be, he probably feels I deserve to be the number one guy. And there's no guarantee that Harbaugh is the one that's changing his tune on Alex. Could just be the front office is making a business decision. And report, apparently, the source says that Alex doesn't like the three-year $24 million, that maybe he wants more years, that he wants more of a commitment to him as the number one guy. So here's what could happen is you could have Peyton sign with the Titans. You could have Alex sign with the Seahawks or the Dolphins or whoever, and we're stuck with Kaepernick. Is Kaepernick ready? I think with a year under his belt and the full training camp and everything, he could be. But we don't know. We don't know what it's like with Kaepernick. So I don't know what's going on. It seems to me that Alex wasn't entirely honest when he said there was no problem with the deal. We're just working through some things. But there was also this. He's ready to fire his agent because it's an obvious conflict of interest. If Peyton wants to sign with the Niners and Alex wants to sign with the Niners, obviously it's a conflict of interest. So he's ready to pretty much dump his agent. And so it's very, very interesting. This could go, we thought it would be either Alex or Peyton as early as this weekend. And now it's like, it could be Alex, it could be Peyton, it could be Kaepernick, it could be who knows. Peyton could go to Tennessee and Hasselbeck could go to San Francisco and Alex could go to Seattle. And wouldn't that just be weird? I don't know, man. Well, basically, I've condensed 34 minutes into 11 and a half with new details. So, Manningham. Trey Niner, one of the guys in my timeline on Twitter, doesn't really value Manningham that highly. Thinks he's kind of just another version of Crabtree. And I can't necessarily disagree with him because both of them sometimes disappear in games. I don't know what his attitude's like. I think a scouting report on him coming out of college was he kind of gets a little pouty sometimes. So he's not really demonstrably faster than Crabtree. Probably a good possession guy, and I think he may be an upgrade over Josh Morgan. We can probably say that because Morgan was never really fast, but has, you know, good hands, good body. Manningham has great hands. You know, we've seen him make great catches and at Candlestick Park too. So, you know, decent pickup, not blazing or anything, you know, not phenomenal. And then we got Randy Moss. And we don't know what he's going to turn out to be. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, he's a locker room cancer. And he's not Terrell Owens, okay? He doesn't command all the attention. He's the guy that kind of wants to be left alone. You put him in a situation with strong leadership like the 49ers have, and I don't think he's going to be a problem. He wasn't a problem in New England. Now, the issue is, as it was in Tennessee, how are his knees? Because his knees weren't very good. His knees started to go. And just like Braylon Edwards, Randy Moss had some problems with knees. Braylon Edwards had a problem with a knee. Who knows how this is going to go? Very, very interesting situations going on with the 49ers. I'm going to take some water here. So very, very interesting situations, as I said before. And, what else is there? I feel like there's things we're missing. But we'll go to the blog comments. Kamara says, hey, Indiana Jim, big ups for putting out another podcast. 6-year deal for Brooks was a head-scratcher for me. I thought maybe they could make a run at Mario Williams, who is a free agent. Well, we already saw what happened to Mario Williams. He went to Buffalo. Josh from SAC says, another good podcast, Jim. Keep it up. Your show is the main feature of my Saturday morning chores. Well, sorry, this won't be on Saturday that you'll be listening to this. Says he thinks our need at wide receiver is overwhelming. And I think it is. Crabtree, Randy Moss, Mario Manningham, Kyle Williams, Brett Swain. Probably going to see a draft pick in there somewhere. Says, I love Adam Snyder as a backup. That's the other interesting thing. Adam Snyder went to the Cardinals, which, I mean, Adam Snyder's not great. He was kind of the fifth wheel of the offensive line. And there's been speculation that the guy on the, who's the, did this before, Kilgore, or Person. One of those guys could step into that starting right guard spot. But there's been a lot of speculation that Anthony Davis could slide to the guard and Boone could move over to the right tackle. Because I think, in my personal opinion, those are the five best guys. And Harbaugh has says he wants to have the five best guys playing. And I think that makes that right side solid. You know, I really do. He says here, Balky was quoted saying we would draft a wide receiver high and add a free agent. So we added two free agent receivers. Probably get a draft pick. We re-signed Rodgers. So we're returning all 11 starters on defense. He also says we need a replacement at center soon. Which we probably do. Did Raggy leave? Roggy? I don't remember if he left. We have Andrew Millis chiming in on the blog all the way from Melbourne, Australia, saying that if Harbaugh believes in Alex enough, we should gamble and sign him to a 4 to 5 year deal now. Well, I think that if Peyton doesn't sign, you know, again, maybe they like Kaepernick enough that they don't want Alex around that long. Maybe they feel like he's a good transitionary player. Maybe Alex disagrees with him. And I think he probably does, looking at the way things have worked out. I think he disagrees about being a transition kind of player. And good for him, because, you know, he's asserting himself. He's never really been the most assertive guy, but he's making his case saying, you know, I believe in myself enough. Give me a 5 year deal. And if it doesn't work out and Kaepernick's ready and they really want to move forward with Kaepernick, then, you know, cut me. But I think he's calling their bluff. I think he's kind of just daring them to, let's, you know, put your money where your mouth is, I guess. I don't know. Maybe he feels like if you're going to make public commitment to me and say I'm your guy, you don't give me a deal that basically signals you're not really our guy, you know? And I think maybe that's probably where it's at with him. I think it seems to be the most reasonable. He says we can make gains on offense by improving the quality of play around Alex until he develops further, and he believes that there's still development in Alex. By that, I mean strengthen our offensive line to give him more time in the pocket and get a genuine deep threat wide receiver to spread the secondary out a little further. You know, I think wide receiver was a place we needed an upgrade. And I think, you know, if Manningham is Crabtree, then he's probably an upgrade over Morgan. However, you know, here's the thing with Crabtree. He likes to make those quick cuts. He's not really fast. He doesn't have a really big body. He likes to make those quick cuts to get open. And he struggled to do that late in the season, especially in San Francisco on that turf. Morgan, I thought, was a very solid possession receiver. Is Manningham an upgrade over Morgan? I think he is. I think our wide receiver core has improved if Randy Moss has one good year in him. I think we've made some improvements there. And really, the only other improvement I think we needed to make was, you know, right guard spot on the offensive line. Other than that, I don't think it was so much a matter of developing people around Alex or giving him better people around him. I think he started to take those steps forward regardless. Certainly some improvements would have helped, but you know, who knows? Maybe he'll still be playing in San Francisco. We'll see how that goes. Let's see. 49ers for the win says, first off, thanks for the podcast. Great job. Thank you. Says, I do not really feel that 49ers overpaid for Ahmad Brooks. I agree. Here's his impressions on free agency. Randy Moss, good signing, low risk with lots of upside. Parrish Cox, I don't know who that is. I know we signed him, but I don't know what he does. Good signing, low risk with lots of upside. Ahmad Brooks, I'm no contract expert, but as long as he plays good for 2 years, he can be cut in year three with little repercussions to the salary cap. Okay, I don't know. Maybe you know more about that than I do. Travaris Gooden, Jermaine Brock, Larry Grant is back. Maybe not. No, he's not really back. He's just... maybe another team will throw more money at him. I don't know. Did he come back? I don't remember. Will Tukuwafu, decent backup. CJ Spillman, safety depth, special teams. Few players that are gone at wide receiver. Eddie Royal, Pierre Garçon, he believes, is overpaid. Josh Morgan, he believes, was actually overpaid, which I think that's kind of weird. He wasn't paid all that much, I don't think. But he says he likes Anthony Gonzalez, who's already signed with somebody else. And Early Doucette is a name that we haven't really heard a lot about. now, at this point, I think they're done with free agency. That means Mike Wallace probably not coming based on the deals that Vincent Jackson got and Calvin Johnson got. I don't think they're going to get Mike Williams. But at this point, I think it's down to just a draft pick. I don't think they're going to pick up Early Doucette because they like to build through the draft. I don't think Doucette is an option for them. Now, would he fit in? I think so. I think he'd be a decent contributor. Somebody else this guy likes is Devon Wiley as a draft pick out of Fresno State. He says he was shackled in a one-dimensional Pat Hill offense for his college career, but was a solid return guy that is faster and has better hands than Ted Ginn. Now, faster than Ted Ginn, that can be hard to come by. Better hands, not too hard to come by. I have better hands than Ted Ginn, okay? But I think we do need an upgrade in that special teams if Ginn is gone, because Kyle Williams can't be the guy. Nathaniel says he wanted to see Brandon Lloyd come back, but he's obviously signed somewhere else. Eric talked about Eric Davis as a corner. I don't know if they're going to get him. And then he was really excited about signing Mario Manningham. That's fantastic. In my earlier recording, I didn't know we'd already signed Manningham, and so I told him all this. I said all this stuff about him being another Crabtree. Didn't know whether he'd be worthy. Anyway, too late. He's already there. So, very, very interesting. Let's get to some voicemails here, and let's see how well this goes, because sometimes it takes a while to get these things to come up and be heard when you're playing them on a phone.
Hey, Jim. Superfan Sean here. Just listened to the latest episode. I got a chuckle. You must have gotten a chuckle out of this, too. Probably like the day after you recorded that, they announced Ahmad Brooks' new contract.
Yeah, I know.
Podcasting, gotta love Timesheets Audio.
Right.
So my question is, do you think that was overpaying for him? I don't know too many of the details of the contract. I don't know how much of it was guaranteed. I think like $17 million was guaranteed, something like that. So I just wonder what your thoughts were on that. I want to weigh in on the wide receiver issue. They definitely should go after Wallace from Pittsburgh. He is by far and away worth the 30th round pick of the draft.
Now, special note, Sean left this voicemail 2 days after the other podcast came out. So it's not his fault that he left this on March 5th, and it's March 18th, and it's almost 2 weeks later. It's completely my fault, but I wanted to give him the time because he took the time to send the voicemail. So I'm putting in the time to play it. Okay? Just wanted you to know.
I would also like to see them go after Reggie Wayne, too, if they can. Get a veteran and get the younger guy. I'm reminded of Jerry Rice, who people said he was done with the 49ers, and he went to Oakland and only had two more Pro Bowl seasons and went to another Super Bowl. He wasn't done at all.
Right.
Several more very productive years left in him.
Look at Peyton.
I think Reggie Wayne is that kind of receiver. So
we
have him.
But as we know already, Reggie Wayne signed, re-upped with the Colts, so he's still there. But yeah, and bringing up Rice brings up another great point that I brought up in the other 34 minutes that I recorded and yet had to start over. With Crabtree, I don't see a Rice-like work ethic out of him, or a Reggie Wayne work ethic out of him, or a Marvin Harrison, or any of the guys that are out there that are number one wide receivers that we look to as the example. Crabtree's not an example guy, and he strikes me as a guy who likes to make excuses when things don't go his way. It's never his fault. You know, he's not a diva. He's not a prima donna. He's not one of these guys that says, look at me, look at me, look at me. But when things aren't going well, he tends to whine a little bit. And that bothers me about him. I don't know how much they're gonna put up with him, you know. I remember Trey Niner was telling me that Manningham likes to disappear in games, and that's pretty much just like Crabtree, but Crabtree also likes to disappear during the preseason. I don't know what his deal is. Maybe the foot was really still bugging him. You know, I don't know, but we'll see what happens with this full training camp and offseason. We'll see if he can show a better, a better example, I guess, if he can just show more out of his demeanor and his attitude and his work. I don't think he's lazy. I just think he's kind of a make excuses guy, and he needs to just mature a little bit. But that's just me. I think that was important to bring up, just as my thoughts about our current wide receiver situation.
Now I'm blanking the guy from Pittsburgh, Wallace, right?
Yeah, Wallace.
I just said
right.
His name was Wallace. I hope that's right. Crabtree, Morgan, and of course we need Ginn, and then Kyle Williams. It gives us six. As far as Brett Swain is concerned, remember that play in our fourth quarter against the Saints? He was running along the sideline, and Alex threw the ball out there where he had a chance to make a play on it, and he could only get one arm out there for the ball. I looked at that play, and I said, that was it, Brett. That was your chance right there to make this team next year. You make that play, you make this team.
Wait, you mean the one where the guy held him? Is that the one we're talking about?
He didn't make the play. So I think if he makes the practice squad, he's lucky. Defensively, looks like everyone's coming back except Carlos Rogers.
Oh, no, he is coming back.
I'm not sure if he's going to be as good of a year he had. I mean, that was the best season of his career.
True.
Again, if you give him huge money when he's had one really good year, or do you do what they're doing with Bolton, which is they say, look, we want to see two really good years before you break the bank on us.
Right.
Anyways, those are some of my thoughts. Thanks for the show, and see you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. The thing with Rodgers, now that we know he's coming back, it wasn't huge money. It was decent money. the other thing is you look at Rodgers, who had the best season of his career, and they paid him decent money, starter money. You got Alex Smith looking at the Rodgers deal going, oh, wait a minute. You know, I was the quarterback of this team. We went to the NFC Championship. I had the best season of my career, and you're going to give me 3 years? You know, that might be, again, another example of what's going on in somebody's mind right now, possibly. And with Wallace, you know, I had thought maybe this was speculated by a Red Gold Bleeder follower on my Twitter timeline, that the potential was that they said, okay, look, Alex, we got an agreement here. This is what our terms are. And if Alex was being honest and said, I like the terms are fine, then the idea was that they're waiting around. They said, Alex, let's go ahead and do our free agency stuff. When we're done, we'll know what kind of cap numbers we're dealing with, and we'll structure the deal around that. Well, I guess things aren't going that way. It appears that he's not happy with the terms being offered, and that he's making his free agent visits. And this doesn't really put pressure on, you know, them looking at Peyton doesn't put pressure on Alex to sign a deal he doesn't like. I mean, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. However, he has to know that just because he signs a 3-year deal doesn't mean they're not going to sign Peyton as well. And then he's stuck as Peyton's backup. And he's stuck on a team that professed their love for him and decided, you know what, we're going to bring Peyton Manning in, so you have to sit again. You know, would you put up with that? I wouldn't. And if you don't like the terms of the deal and you're just kind of waiting around, you're going to see, you know, we'll see if somebody shows interest. We'll just see what happens. But apparently, Tom Condon's bigger fish was Peyton Manning. And that might be another thing, is that for him to be mad at Condon, if he's so wrapped up in what Peyton Manning's doing, and the 49ers are a part of that, then how does Alex know that Condon's feeding him interest from other teams that say, hey, Alex, these guys are interested in you? Or maybe Alex kind of shut it down, as I postulated in the first 34 minutes that I recorded today. That's really bugging me. But maybe he shut it down and said, you know, I don't want to take offers from other teams because I'm going to sign him in San Francisco. Or, you know, now that we know he didn't really like the terms, I don't know. You know, there's so much stuff going on here. It's so funny. Let's get to the next voicemail here and see what this individual has to say to us today for this episode of the podcast.
Jim, this is Nathaniel. Hey.
Hi.
Another good signing we got there with Mario Manningham. If we get Peyton Manning this week, because there's a lot of talk about him going to one of three teams and the 49ers happen to be one of us, we got to get another podcast if we get Manning. Take care.
And guess what? You got a podcast before we got Peyton Manning. If we get Peyton Manning. So, yeah, you like Manningham. And if we got Peyton Manning, it'd be, see, and this is, I'm gonna be real heart to heart right now. And this doesn't have to do with Alex Smith or whatever, but I like seeing, I identify with a group of players that come together for a common purpose, pursuing the ultimate goal of a championship. And those players that I like to see them build through the draft. Joe Montana was drafted by Bill Walsh. Dwight Clark drafted by Bill Walsh. A lot of these guys drafted by Bill Walsh. He built his team through the draft, guys who were 49ers. He brought in guys that were cast off by other teams like Hacksaw Reynolds, Jim Burt later on from the Giants. And he took guys that were cast offs and made them part of something that he created, something that he built from the ground up. You look at the Super Bowl that Eddie bought for Steve Young. Was a lot of cast off guys. They couldn't beat Dallas without first going out and getting Deion Sanders, getting Kevin Green, getting Ken Norton Jr., getting these people to play for their team, and of course they won the Super Bowl. Now, in my mind, emotionally speaking, it's not as significant. It's not as valuable as the first four Super Bowls. Now, maybe we can look at the 81 team and say, you know, the core guys were guys that Walsh drafted, like Ronnie Lott and Joe Montana. But, he brought over Fred Dean. They couldn't beat Dallas without Fred Dean. Brought in Hacksaw Reynolds. But he built that secondary through the draft. So you see what I'm saying? I like to see the 49ers win with guys who were 49ers. Now, a lot of people say, well, I want a championship at any cost. You know, I'm not the kind of person that can say, you know, if we just put all the Pittsburgh Steelers in a 49ers uniform and won a Super Bowl, that would be as meaningful. It wouldn't. I would rather see them win a Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick down the road than necessarily with Peyton Manning now, if you know what I mean. He's not a 49er. He's an Indianapolis Colt. And a lot of guys say, I don't care. I want the best players on my team because I want my team to win a Super Bowl. And I don't identify necessarily, I identify with the logo. I identify with the colors. I identify with the city. But I also identify with players. And it's why I stopped basically watching basketball, because the New York Knicks, once Patrick Ewing was gone, there was no reason for me to keep watching the Knicks because they didn't know what they were doing. They weren't building a team. They weren't building a core. And the NBA is exactly that way. It's, let's just bring in free agents and win something for the organization, just for the city to feel good. I'm not the kind of guy that can say, hey, my team won a Super Bowl. I don't know who these people are. And maybe that's just me. And then people say, well, you're not a real fan then. You just like, you just like Alex Smith. Whatever. Okay? Like I said, if it's not Alex Smith, let it be Colin Kaepernick. Now, I will enjoy watching Peyton because I identify with Peyton. I've watched him enough. I've watched him long enough here. But like if it was Matt Hasselbeck, I just don't identify with him. And it's hard for me to get as excited. Now, I'll get excited. But it's hard for me to get as excited with players with whom I don't identify. Do you see what I mean? I identified more with the 49ers in 92 and 93 when they lost to the Cowboys than I did in 94 when they won. Now, that sounds weird. No, I was happy. I was happy for Steve Young. I was happy for Jerry Rice. I was happy that my team went and got another one, but it didn't feel the same. And so we bring in Randy Moss, and we bring in Mario Manningham, and we bring in Peyton Manning, and now all of a sudden, we've got a completely different team. Now the defense is there, and I guess maybe part of it is Alex Smith wanting to see the ultimate triumph over his circumstances. And it's like, it almost seems too easy to take, here's Peyton Manning, plug him in, Super Bowl. Really? Maybe you all like the sound of that. Maybe you like the idea that we couldn't win it ourselves. We had to go get this guy. And that's kind of how it feels to me. But again, I identify with Peyton Manning. That's a guy I like bringing in. It would have been like, you know, being a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And we're kind of, you know, we're okay. We're a contender every year for the playoffs and whatever. And now we have Joe Montana. All right, let's go win a Super Bowl. You know, it just, he's not a Chief. He's a 49er. It's not the same with Steve Young because he toiled on the bench behind Joe Montana until he had his opportunity. He was a 49er by the time he got in there. It wasn't like, he's great. Let's get this guy and go win. It sounds NBA-ish to me. Now, the difference here is Peyton Manning's not like, play 3 years here, play 3 years here, play 3 years here. Let's go get that guy, put him on our team. It's different. He put in his time. He put in 14 years with the Indianapolis Colts. Still has some game left. And, you know, at this point, I feel better with him, I guess, than I would with anybody else. And that's not just because he's great. It's because I like the guy. Because he's got class. Because he's got nobility. Because he's clean. You know, he's not an idiot. He doesn't open his mouth and say stupid things. He's a great guy. And I would be honored to have that guy on the 49ers. Not so much honored with Randy Moss. Not so much honored with Mario Manningham. But it's like all of a sudden, you know, we couldn't draft our own wide receivers except for one, and we couldn't keep them, and we couldn't make something out of them, so we got to go get these guys. I don't know. Let me know your thoughts, okay? Let me hear what you have to say. Let me know your perspective on this issue, because it's just, it's weird for me. It just is. You know, I'll always identify with the team, and eventually down the road, there will be guys that are on the team that haven't been on the team yet, you know, that, oh, well, you know, gee, Jim, if you follow your logic all the way through, you could say, well, Alex wasn't really a 49er. He was a Ute. You know, Willis wasn't really a 49er. He was a running rebel. Not running rebels. Ole Miss is just rebels. Tied? No. Whoa. Alabama. Wow. I don't know anybody. But anyway, point is, it just seems weird. It seems like mercenary land. You know, it's like, that's not really us. That's not really the 49ers. That's just some guy wearing the uniform. I guess I'm just not as keyed in. You know, it's like you didn't put your time in with this team. You're just this guy over here who needed to win another Super Bowl, and here you are, and you're using our team to get your ring. You know? I don't know. That's like I said, you know, I don't mind supplementing, and we bring on this guy and he helps us win, but all of a sudden this is our key component. This is our key thing is a guy who isn't really a 49er. You know, just a little weird for me, but that's just me. So again, call in your voicemails, 3477-GO-NINERS. Email 49ersfancast@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @49ersfancast, or for non-football stuff @IndianaJim. And leave a comment on the blog for this episode, 49ersfancast.com. With all of that being said, I will bid you farewell for now. And soon and very soon, we will have another episode once all the Peyton Manning and everything else stuff gets decided. So thanks very much for listening, and I will talk to you next time.